Hare Krishna. Well, thank you everybody for gathering here to celebrate the appearance of Lord Balaram. Sri Nityananda Ram Ki Jai. Sri Balaram Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. So, yeah, it's a great privilege, although I'm personally incompetent to really glorify Lord Balaram. So therefore, I have done some research, mainly in Shivaram Raj's epic work, Navaraja Mahima, because in there he has lots of pastimes and philosophy mixed in. So, and also something from Srimad Bhagavatam, where Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the importance of taking shelter of Lord Balaram. But first of all, I ask your blessings and permission to try to say something, especially all the senior devotees, whether present or online. I've tried to listen to a few classes. It seems that mostly Kripa Moya Prabhu has given classes on Balaram's appearance day in the last few years. At least there were three. But I can't speak like Kripa Moya Prabhu. So I'll just do my best with your blessings. First of all, we're going to chant the Sri Baladev Pranam, which is on the board here. It's from the Pancharatra Pradeep. I don't know where it is originally from, but if you look in on the Veda base in Pancharatra Pradeep, you'll find it there. So please repeat after me. I'll do the word for word first. Well, a lot of the same words there. That's namaste. So I think everybody knows what namaste is. Obeisances unto you. So we don't need to do all that. So namaste halagraha. We're just doing the word for word. What is the meaning of halagraha? Anybody can tell me? Sorry? Yes, it is his plow. Namaste mushala yudha. No. So, anybody like to? Somebody else from the men's side? What is mushala yudha? Mushala, what is it? Anybody can say? The mace, yes, his mace, yes. He also has a mace. Namaste, Revati Kanta. What does Revati Kanta mean? Kanta, you know, I think, what Kanta means, yeah? No, that's Kanta. 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 Yes, to do with Revati, yes. Yes, that's right. The darling of Mother Revati. Of Revati, yeah. Darling. What's next? Namaste Bhaktavatsala. Everybody should know that, I think, mostly. Yeah, the kind benefactor of your devotees in this translation. But basically, yes, you're right. And then Namaste Dharani Dhara. So Dharani is... What, anybody got an idea? Somebody different? Yeah, Dharani is the earth. And Dhara? Yeah, holder of the earth. The upholder of the earth. Namaste Balanam Shrestha. What? Anybody? Abhay? What is, no? Prash? No? Anybody else? Balanam Shrestha. Shrestha. Okay, let's start with that. Shrestha. Yeah, the best, the topmost, the former. Yeah, that's it. And Balanam? Yeah, best of the strong. Where have we got to? Pralambare Namaste Stu. So, Pralambare? Pralambasura, yeah. So, Are. Pralamba and Are. So it's two words actually there put together, Sandi. So it means the enemy of Pralamba. So we'll talk about that in a bit. And finally, Pralambare Namaste is to Ehimam Krishna Purvaja. So Krishna Purvaja, what does that mean? Anybody can say? Yeah, because he comes before. Purva, before. Purvaja, he's born before Krishna. He appears before Krishna. Okay, so let's chant it. It's quite a simple verse, so you never know. You might even memorize it, and then throughout the day you can pay your obeisances to... of course, there are other pranams for Lord Balaram. this one is the one I found in the... I've been chanting this for quite some time. I got inspired. I think it might have been by Kripa Maya Prabhu's class a few years ago, 2016 maybe, or 15, when he said we should take strength from Lord Balaram. So let's see if we can... No? Okay. So, translation. Obeisances unto you, O holder of the plow. Obeisances to you, O wielder of the mace. Obeisances to you, O darling of Revati. Obeisances to you, O kind benefactor of your devotees. Obeisances to you, O upholder of the earth. Obeisances to you, O best of the strong. Obeisances to you, O enemy of Pralamba. Please come to me, older brother of Krishna. So, now that we have invoked the divine presence of Lord Balaram, and we can meditate upon all these aspects of him as he holds the plow, wields the mace, is the darling of Revati, is the kind benefactor of all devotees, upholder of the earth and the enemy of Pralamba. So, first of all, just something about the appearance of Lord Balaram from Nava Raja Mahima by Srila Shivaram Swami. He says that on one evening, Rohini Devi secretly arrived in Mahavan. She was riding a horse all the way from Mathura. And she'd been consigned to Nanda Maharaj's care by her husband, because Vasudev was very fearful of King Kamsa's wild anger. So Yashoda and Rohini had a very blissful reunion, and it's described like the meeting of the Ganges and the Yamuna at Prayag. And in the same way that the two rivers conjoin further downstream, the two women were inseparable. Rohini Devi was already 3 months pregnant when she arrived at Nanda Maharaj's place. And of course, Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev were great friends. The bond between them was like brothers. And so Nanda Maharaj was happy to shelter Rohini in his palace as if she were his sister. 4 months after she arrived in Vrindavan, Yoga Maya mystically exchanged Rohini's embryo for Devaki's, making it appear that under the duress of Kamsa's tyranny, Devaki had suffered a miscarriage. Rohini's pregnancy continued for another 7 months. It was therefore after 14 months that she blissfully gave birth to a beautiful boy who shone with the whiteness and purity of a full moon. The newborn's eyes were as restless as lightning, his hair as black as night, his complexion as soothing as a white cloud, and his effulgence as brilliant as the sun. The sight of him brought pure bliss. The astrologers were amazed at the baby's chart. Calling him Balaram, they found him to be the source of both endless bliss and divine strength, with which he would protect cows and kill demons. The most profound prediction, however, was that of Balaram's protective fondness for his was that of Balaram's protective fondness for his younger brother, with whom he would reestablish the religious principles demons like Kamsa had undermined. Right. So, Lord Balaram's appearance is said to have taken place in Nandamaraj's house a little more than a year prior to Lord Krishna's own appearance in Gokula. Rohini was already 3 months pregnant when her husband Vasudev sent her to Gokula. And she happily lived in Nandamaraj's palace as if she was part of the immediate family. She and Mother Yashoda were extremely close friends. They were practically inseparable. So the miscarriage took place at midnight during the 7th month of Rohini's pregnancy, which, according to Sri Jiva Goswami, continued for another 7 months, as we already heard, keeping the household of Nandamaraj always in suspense. So at that time, it was customary for women to give birth in a maternity room separate from the residential quarters, just as Mother Yashoda gave birth to Yogamaya in the Shyam Mandir near the Yamuna. But because Lord Balaram took place at an unexpected time, he was born inside Nandamaraj's home. The next morning, Rohini Devi proudly displayed her newborn son. He was radiant as the moon. But there's another account of Balaram's appearance in the Garga Samhita, in which he takes birth after staying only 5 days within Rohini's womb, but the birth is also unexpected. This alternate version also says that Balaram appeared at midday rather than midnight, but because Srila Prabhupada says Balaram appeared at midnight, that is the account that his followers accept. Upon the birth of Lord Balaram in Vasudev's absence, Nandamaraj performed the child's birth ceremony, sponsoring a joyful festival, and profusely distributed charity as if he were doing so for his own son. Even the great Vyasadeva came to the ceremony. He asked to see the newborn and disclosed to Nanda that the child was Anantashesh and that he had been transferred from Devaki's womb to Rohini's. Upon seeing the child, Vedavyas offered many prayers, such as Jaya Jaya Chuta Deva Parat Parasvayam Ananta Dig Ananta Gatam Yashaha Sura Munindra Panindra Varaya Te Mushaline Baline Haline Namaha. O infallible Lord, O Supreme One, O Lord Ananta of universal fame, glory unto you, obeisances to you, holding a plough and club, master of demigods, great sages, and regal serpents. Srila Vyasadeva then departed, leaving Nandamaraj to wonder how he had become so fortunate as to have Balaram take birth in his kingdom, not to mention within the walls of his own house. So, a few glories of Lord Balaram. All glories to Sri Baladev, who is called Sankarshan, because while visiting Vraja, he would sometimes draw Krishna from Dwarka and present him before a particular gopi in a secluded place. All glories to Sri Balaram, who filled the desires of the gopis attached to him and displayed his own rasa lila, distinguished by its mood of awe and reverence, by Yamuna's shore. All glories to the carrier of the plough, who during the months of Chaitra and Vaishakha gave pleasure to the inhabitants of Vraja by constantly describing to them the pastimes of Sri Krishna. Okay, so Garga Muni, he gives some explanations of the names, why he gave the name Balaram, etc., to Balaram. So Garga Muni watched the boy's movements. He came to, obviously, Nanda Maharaj's place, and he watched the boy's movements as he worshipped various deities headed by Ganesh. After carefully appeasing planetary deities, he pronounced the children's names and explained their significance. First, he spoke about Mother Rohini's son. Yogis find happiness, Ramante, in him, so Rama. He is the supreme enjoyer, Ramati. His qualities delight, Ramayati, all devotees. His qualities delight all devotees. Thus he will be called Rama. Because he was pulled, Sankarshan, from Devaki's womb, he unites the families of Nanda and Vasudev. And because he attracts all people and removes their sins, he will be called Sankarshan. Because after annihilation, he alone remains, Avashesha, he is called Shesha. Because he is as powerful, Bala, as the Supreme Lord, he is called Bala. And because he enjoys wrestling, he is called Baladev. Because he enjoys the mellow of humor when his friends tease him after defeating him in games of riddles, saying, O Deva, what use is your strength, Bala, now? He will be called Balaram. Rohini's son has countless names, all as eternal as he himself. Chanting those names gave Garga Muni untold bliss. But the sage was obliged to stop, for names even more relishable were yet to come. And then he's referring to Krishna's names. So we won't go into those just now, Krishna's names. So turn to a different volume. The nine volumes of Sivaram Swami's book. I don't know if everybody's read it, but it's a nectarian book. So I'm going to volume 5. So in referring to Krishna's brother, Srila Prabhupada would often quote the statement of Shruti, Nayam atma bala hinena labhyo. One cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balaram. And he's referring to a particular verse, which I'll turn to in a minute. Whether the perfection we aspire for is to be found in Radhakund or Raman Reti, our success can only be secured with the spiritual strength bestowed upon us by Balaram. As Srila Prabhupada writes, if one has no connection with Balaram, then even though one is a learned scholar or has taken birth in a respectable family, these assets will not help him conquer the enemies of Krishna consciousness. To thus propitiate the mercy of Lord Balaram, we can offer prayers while passing Ral, prayers like Revati Ramana, etc. O husband of Revati, O Lord Balaram, O elder brother of Lord Krishna, O Lord who holds a plough weapon, O killer of Pralambasura, O supreme personality of Godhead, please protect me. So the verse that Srila Prabhupada is, Sivaram Swami is referring to, is in the 7th canto, the last chapter, chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, and it's text 45. So I'll leave out the Sanskrit, but Srila Prabhupada translates the verse. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge. And with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. So this is what we want to do, resume our spiritual, spiritual identity. Before going into the purport, which is actually quite long, I won't read the whole thing, but just the relevant bits and summarize the other bits. But in it he says that if you have a material body, well, first of all, you must possess the lotus feet of your superiors, namely the spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. So, but then he goes on to say, by their mercy one can sharpen the sword of knowledge. And with the power of the Supreme Personality of God as mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. So what were the enemies mentioned above? So these are the enemies which Lord Balaram can help us, or the spiritual master can help us to overcome. So the previous two verses actually say, in the conditioned stage, one's conceptions of life are sometimes polluted by passion and ignorance, which are exhibited by attachment, hostility, greed, lamentation, illusion, fear, madness, false prestige, insults, fault-finding, deception, envy, intolerance, passion, bewilderment, hunger, and sleep. All of these are enemies. Sometimes one's conceptions are also polluted by goodness. So these are the enemies that we have to overcome. But we can't do so alone. So in the purport to verse 45, Srila Prabhupada quotes one verse which he often quotes in relation to the appearance of Krishna or different incarnations of Krishna, avatars. Anybody can remember what that verse is? He usually quotes this verse. In this case, he quotes this verse twice in the same purport. Any ideas? When the Lord is appearing, begins with Janma. Yeah. Janma karma chamedi vyam evam yo veti tapataha chaktva deham puna janma naiti mam eti sojuna. In fact, I believe that is the most quoted verse by Prabhupada. If you go on, I think it's, what's that website? Vanipedia. They have a list of all the most quoted verses. I think this is the top one. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think so. I wouldn't be surprised, because even in this verse, he quotes it twice. So, and the most important point being, of course, that you have to understand that Krishna is not mundane. He's transcendental. The transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activities. He then goes on in the purport to explain about the human form of body, that this is the most valuable boat. The human form of body is the most valuable boat. And who's the captain of that boat? He is Guru Karnadharam, the spiritual master. He's the captain of the boat. Guru Karnadharam. And he guides the boat in plying across the ocean of nescience. The instruction of Krishna is a favorable breeze. So we've got the boat, which is the human body. We've got the captain of the boat, who is the spiritual master. We have the instructions of Krishna compared to a favorable breeze, yes. And these facilities we must use to cross over the ocean of nescience. So he says, since the spiritual master is the captain, one must serve the spiritual master very sincerely, so that by his mercy one will be able to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Then he goes on to say that in the verse itself, there is one very significant word, achyuta balaha. The spiritual master is very merciful to his disciples. And consequently, by satisfying him, a devotee gets strength from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But an interesting point that he makes in this purport is that actually Krishna, he gives the instruction. Krishna gives the instruction, but without the mercy of the spiritual master, we can't carry out the instructions of Krishna. So therefore, he's saying actually knowledge is not enough. Even spiritual knowledge is not enough. If one seriously desires to return home, back to Godhead, one must therefore become strong enough by pleasing the spiritual master. For thus one gets the weapon with which to conquer the enemy. And one also gets the grace of Krishna. Simply getting the weapon of jnana is insufficient. So just having jnana or knowledge is insufficient. One must sharpen the weapon by serving the spiritual master and adhering to his instructions. Then the candidate will get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Prabhupada gives an example that in warfare, one must take help from his chariot and horses in order to conquer his enemy. But after conquering his enemies, he may give up the chariot and paraphernalia. Similarly, as long as one has a human body, one should fully use it to obtain the highest perfection of life, namely going back to home, back to Godhead. So it's not that we give up the spiritual master, we give up the human body in order to get our spiritual body and therefore be able to go back home, back to Godhead. So why do we need this strength from the spiritual master, of whom Lord Balaram is the origin of the spirit? Because we're actually very weak and very helpless, just like a child. If you notice children, small children, they're always, you can notice when they come to the temple, their parents may put them down, but then they always put their hands up, don't they? They go, pick me up again, I want to be picked up. Because that's, they know that they're helpless, and without the protection of their mother and father, they would not survive, definitely. So we should feel like that actually we are helpless, and therefore we beg Krishna to pick us up. We beg Lord Balaram to pick us up. We beg the spiritual master to pick us up and give us shelter. Of course, Krishna is the summum bonum, the original shelter. But Lord Balaram, who's non-different from Krishna, the only difference is his complexion, he's teaching. He's the Supreme Personality of Servitorship Godhead. So he's actually showing us how to take shelter of Krishna. I was just thinking also, when we're children, we're helpless. But also, as we get older, we start realizing we're also helpless. We become feeble. But the difference is between the child who's helpless and the old person, hopefully the difference is that the old person, provided they're in good frame of mind, the old person becomes conscious. Children are not really conscious of the fact that they're totally helpless. They just have this instinct to take shelter. But an old person, it becomes conscious that actually everything is failing. My faculties are failing. My body is failing. My senses are failing. So this is Krishna's arrangement so that we can all actually take shelter fully of Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna. So then Srila Prabhupada, he describes the perfection of knowledge is certainly to become transcendentally situated, become to reach the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Brahma-Bhuta prasanatma na shochati na kankshati. And then he quotes another famous verse, bhaktyama mabijanati yavanyas chasmitabhataha, that you can only understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service. And that's, of course, what Lord Balaram is showing us. He's always engaged in the service of Krishna. Everything that Krishna requires is supplied by Lord Balaram. All his paraphernalia, his bed, his shoes, his pillow, Even the spiritual realm is originating, is provided by Lord Balaram. So his service is his mood. Then Prabhupada again quotes Janma Karma Chame Divyam, saying that the word tatvata, meaning in reality, is very important. So, and we cannot understand Krishna in reality, he says, without the mercy of the spiritual master. Otherwise, what will happen? We may get that knowledge, we may read the scriptures, but the danger is that we will fall down again. That's the message he's giving us. The only insurance is to come to the stage of bhakti, from which one is sure not to fall. So the last paragraph, or the last, yeah, it's one paragraph, is where Prabhupada really emphasized. So I'll read that to you. Significant in this verse are the words Gyanasinam Achyutabalaha. Gyanasinam, the sword of knowledge, is given by Krishna. And when one serves the Guru and Krishna in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instructions, Balaram gives one strength. So we're so weak, like the child, the very small child or the old person. We're very weak, we're very feeble, and becoming more so in the age of Kali. So it's essential that we beg Lord Balaram for the strength to actually follow Krishna's instructions. In order to hold the sword of Krishna's instructions, Balaram gives one strength. So just like, of course, we don't use swords so much these days, but if you ever went to some castle or something where some swords, they were actually very big and heavy. So even to pick up that sword was very difficult. I seem to remember when I was younger, I don't know how old, maybe teenage or something, trying to pick up one of these swords that the knights used to use in the medieval times. And thinking, Mike, how do they fight with this? It's so heavy, you know, you've got to be pretty powerful even just to pick it up. Never mind fight with it. So it's like that, that Krishna's instructions are heavy. And unless we have strength given to us by Lord Balaram, we can't pick them up. We can't carry them even. We can't certainly keep them in our heart. So Lord Balaram, he's giving us that strength. So then he goes on to say, Balaram is Nityananda. Rajendra Nandana Ye Sachi Suta Hoila Se. Balaram Hoila Nitai. So that's what we sang in the third verse here of this Hari Hari Biphale. This Balaram comes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali, one may very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. They come especially to deliver the fallen souls of this age. Papi Tapi Yata Chila Harinama Udarila. Their weapon is Sankirtan Harinam. So we don't have to lift up a sword, or the equivalent of a knight's sword, which would be like learning all the Vedas, which is practically impossible for us these days. All we have to do is chant the holy name. Thus one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. So he gives us that strength to actually pick up, to accept Krishna's instructions and try to live by them. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. And then he quotes another verse from the Mundaka Upanishad. One cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balaram. Sri Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Nityayera Karuna Hoibe Raja Radha Krishna Pabe. There's another bhajan which Narottam Das Thakur wrote. When one receives the mercy of Balaram, Nityananda, one can attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna very easily. If one has no connection with Nitai, Balaram, then even though one is a very learned scholar or jnani, one has taken birth in a very respectable family, these assets will not help him. We must therefore conquer the enemies of Krishna consciousness with the strength received from Balaram. So that's the message that Prabhupada is giving us, that only by Balaram's mercy, by the spiritual master's mercy, who is an expansion of Lord Balaram, can we actually have the strength to follow Krishna's instructions and get the mercy of Krishna. So there are two demons who Balaram killed. So we'll have a look at them. And the first one, which is most relevant to what we've just been talking about, is Dainakasura. So Shivaram Maharaj has picked up. He's gleaned. He's been through so many of the scriptures, and in Navaraja Mahima, he's given extensive notes, giving all the references. So let me just turn to. First of all, he gives some information about Lord Balaram's part of how he's maintaining Goloka Vrindavan. He says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches that the spiritual sky is shaped like a lotus. The Vaikuntha planets are its petals and Goloka Vrindavan its wall. So the wall is in the middle. That topmost planet, Goloka, resting within the spiritual sky, is the original form of Krishna's abode. Like the Vaikuntha planets, Goloka Vrindavan is manifest and maintained by Lord Balaram via his Sandini Shakti, the potency of existence, which comprises pure goodness, Shuddha Shattva. Being inseparable from the form or sarup of Krishna, the Lord's abode is fully spiritual, composed of three transcendental attributes. Bliss, knowledge. Bliss is Sladini. Knowledge, Samvit, and existence, Sandini. These three coexist in the singular form of Krishna's eternal internal potency, Chit-Shakti, lying far beyond the material modes of nature, which are the cause of happiness and distress, and varied combinations of the two. So, getting on to Dainakasura. So, most people remember where Dainakasura lived. Can you remember? Where was his abode in Vrindavan? Talavan. So, whether in Talavan or elsewhere, let's worship Lord Balaram. And with a prayer like, the splendor of Lord Balaram's transcendental form eclipses many millions of glistening rising moons, and the slightest scent of his boundless strength is sufficient to destroy many armies of demons. Although he knows the supernatural power of his younger brother, Krishna, out of love for him, he never leaves him alone for even a moment. I offer my prayers to Balaram, enemy of Dainakasura. I've lost the reference to it. Okay, well, as we know, Dainakasura was a demon sent by Kamsa, and he represents gross ignorance, spiritual ignorance. And but not ignorance alone. It's actually ignorance caused by high education. So just like the example is given of Prabhupada, when he went to Moscow, who did he meet? Professor Kotovsky, yeah? And he was actually a very learned, educated person. But he said, at the end of this life, that's the end of everything. So Denikasura is like that. Another thing is that Denikasura, he actually followed very strictly various ritualistic performances and things. But because he didn't really understand the true message of the scriptures, and that message is that service to Krishna is the ultimate goal of all scriptures. And so he was guarding all these tal fruits, these juicy fruits, and he didn't want anybody else to enjoy them. So that's like, you know, if we are educated in the scriptures, but we don't want to actually give the real message to others. We just want to hold it for ourselves, just enjoy for ourselves, like that. So that's Denikasura. So that message of service to Krishna, I recently was reading in Mahatma Prabhu's book. I don't know if anybody have got his book. It's called Living a Spiritual Life. I can't remember the exact... I haven't written it down here. But basically in that, he quotes from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which I thought was a wonderful message of how we can try to develop a service attitude. It's very pertinent for me because I don't really have much of a service attitude. But but it's actually quoted by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, Hridayananda Maharaj and Gopi Pranadana, in the 11th canto, chapter 20, Pure Devotional Service. They quote in full the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. So I thought this was because obviously Lord Balaram, he's doing pure devotional service to Krishna, as but many of us, especially myself, are not like that. So they're saying how actually this is the how we can start to develop more of a service attitude. He says, by my previous shameful life, my heart is polluted with many illusory attachments. Personally, I have no power to stop them. Only Lord Krishna within my heart can remove such inauspicious contamination. Whether the Lord removes such attachments immediately or lets me go on being afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to him. So, and then he goes on to say, even if the Lord places millions of obstacles in my path, and even if because of my offenses I go to hell, I will never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. So I thought this was very appropriate, because sometimes we might be afraid, like, anyway, I'm speaking for myself, I've been in the past anyway, afraid to take up some service because I might, you know, cause some offense, or, you know, I might not be able to do it properly, like that, and therefore decline some service, like that. But here he's saying, even if I commit, even if because of my offenses I go to hell, I will never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. So we may commit so many offenses, but that shouldn't stop us. We should keep on trying, and just by the process of of that attempt, Lord Balaram will help us to overcome those offenses and start to serve more purely. He says, I'm not interested in mental speculations and fruitive activities, even if Lord Brahma personally comes before me, offering such engagements. I will not be even slightly interested. So not slightly interested in mental speculation, in other words, jnana, or fruitive activities, getting material things. But he says, although I am attached to material things, I can see very clearly that they lead to no good. So attachments lead to no good, because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachments to so many material things, and I am patiently awaiting Lord Krishna's mercy. So I just felt that that was a wonderful meditation, especially when we don't feel like doing some service. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But you can find it in the 11th canto, 20th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, verses 27 and 28. It's quoted in full in English, not the Sanskrit. So this is a... but in order to do that, even if, you know, we have to have that strength, that determination, to be able to just carry on serving, even though we think actually we're committing so many offenses. We're, you know, obviously we shouldn't try. We should try not to commit offenses, but even out of ignorance or unknowingly, like we have one verse in forgiveness of offenses in the Pujari room there. That, you know, if we commit offenses unknowingly or ignorantly, not deliberately, of course, still carry on serving Krishna. and that is the only solution. So, okay, I'll go to Pralambasura. Sorry about the Denikasura. I just, somehow or other, I lost the place. So, in Vraja, there are two forests called Bandiravan. One where Pralambasura was killed, and another where Radha and Krishna were married. So, Lord Balaram's killing of Pralambasura happened to coincide with the arrival of summer. As a result of this pastime, King Indra awarded Balaram the names Baladev and Pralambagna, Pralamba Agna, killer of Pralamba. When Krishna and Balaram herded the cows in Bandiravan, boys and cows alike enjoyed the beautiful atmosphere of this forest, which was lush with grass for grazing and fruit trees for refreshment. While herding their cows, the boys decorated themselves with peacock feathers, leaves, flowers, and buds. Unable to contain their youthful exuberance, they often danced and sometimes wrestled. Especially playful, Krishna and Balaram sometimes challenged each other, sometimes sang together, and sometimes fed each other fruit, occasionally calling out the names of their many cows. The two brothers were most attractive. Colorful, flower-laden turbans rested at jaunty angles atop their heads. Ropes for tying cows hung on their shoulders, and forest garlands swayed on their necks. Balaram's cloud-white complexion was swathed in deep blue cloth, reflecting his constant absorption in his younger brother, whose own body was like a puppet made of kajal wrapped in gold. The boys arrived at the Bandiravata tree with great flurry and fanfare. They decorated the branches of that great banyan with their colorful lunch packs, sticks, turbans, and upper cloths. The morning's entertainment began with Subal, Arjuna, Krishna, and Balaram staging a dance performance, accompanied by other boys who sang and kept time with their hands, horns, and bamboo sticks. Sometimes all four boys would dance at once, sometimes two or three of them, and sometimes one would dance by himself. When it was Krishna's turn to dance alone, his skill was mesmerizing. Balaram was so inspired that he could not restrain himself. He jumped on stage to join Krishna as if possessed, while the boys clapped approvingly and praised them, who are a mystery to even the Vedas. Balaram and Krishna appeared like the moon moving behind black clouds, and their movements reflected the sunlight, which made it appear that the lightning was flashing around the moon and the clouds. The dancing stopped after some time, and the cowherd boys offered their own jewelry in admiration. But Krishna said, "The only payment we request is that you accept our challenge to wrestle." These words elicited a roar of excitement from the gopas. But before they could even rise to their feet, Krishna and Balaram were amongst them, singling out contestants and giving joy by their touch. Soon the entire area beneath the Bandirika had become a giant wrestling arena in which boys were pairing off, grappling with opponents, and charging at one another like young bulls. The gopas' groans, shouts, and grunts drowned out the sound of the wind and lapping waves. They punched each other, slapped their arms together, and struck one another's chest with full force. As Sri Dharma sat aside Krishna, hitting his friend with his fists, did the Lord feel pain or pleasure? Sri Dharma's blows felt more like an offering of flowers due to the nature of their affectionate relationship. Krishna revels in any loving service rendered by his devotees, be it through praying, wrestling, or flirting. About Bhishma Dev fighting with Krishna, for example, Srila Prabhupada writes, "Thus his throwing of sharp arrows at the body of the Lord is as good as the worship of another devotee who throws soft roses upon him. The Lord enjoyed the wounds created by his great devotee." Krishna and Balaram sat on one swing, four boys stood on another, and six on yet another, all flying through the air as if to challenge the soaring of the many parrots that chattered as they watched the fun. Suddenly, Krishna leapt off his swing, ran to a nearby amalaka tree, collected an armful of fallen fruit, and began pelting the boys, who swung back and forth like moving targets in a shooting gallery. Unable to withstand Krishna's attack or to resist the challenge now before them, the boys all leapt to the ground, ran to the nearby fruit trees, and also threw fruit at one another or anything that moved. The sounds of the melee attracted the cows who had been grazing nearby, but when they came too close, they too were bombarded with fruit, and so they retreated to a more distant and peaceful pasture. When the trees surrounding Bandirika, now picked clean of fruit, a new game began. Krishna and Balaram pretended that they were two kings, and the gopas divided into two groups of subjects. The cowherd boys established their borders and ruled their kingdom. But a territorial dispute soon brought a declaration of war, a march to battle, a fight, defeat, and a peace accord. Eventually, the boys tired of politics and welfare, deciding instead to amuse themselves with other games, such as imitating animals, playing ball, telling riddles, and running races in varied description. About this, Sri Shuka says, "In this way, Krishna and Balaram played all sorts of well-known games as they wandered among the rivers, hills, valleys, bushes, trees, and lakes of Vrindavan." Meanwhile, in Mathura, Kamsa was becoming increasingly depressed over the death of his associates, the latest being Danuka and his gang of donkeys, who had all been wiped out by Krishna and Balaram. Amidst Kamsa's lamentations, his servant Pralamba approached, offered his respects, and asked, "O king, why do you lament?" Kamsa answered, "Because all my friends are dead. Who else is left?" Pralamba vainly replied, "If you give me the opportunity, I will solve your problem within an hour." Kamsa was silent. He simply shook his head. "O Lord," Pralamba said hopefully, "just order me." Kamsa laughed at his foolish servant, who was like a moth compared to the likes of Agasura. The king said sarcastically, "Go ahead, follow the path into the blazing fire. Do as you wish." Thus insulted by Kamsa, foolish Pralamba thought to prove himself to his master. The reactions to his evil deeds drove him to Vrindavan, where he saw Krishna and Balaram playing with their friends. In a previous life, Pralamba had been a Vaishnava named Vijay, the son of Huhu, a Gandhava. Vijay had once trespassed into Kuvera's private garden to collect flowers for an offering to Lord Vishnu. Vijay was unaware that Kuvera had pronounced a curse that anyone taking flowers from his garden would be transformed into a demon. As soon as Vijay picked a flower, he took on the form of Pralamba. Having no recourse, Vijay took shelter of Kuvera, who reassured him, "O devotee of the Lord, do not lament. At the end of Dwapara Yuga, you will be liberated by Lord Balaram in Bandiravan forest." Forgetful of his past life and steeped in ignorance, Pralamba went to Nandagram, where he overheard an elder gopi tell her son Bhadra that he could not go herding cows with Krishna that day. During Bhadra's bath, Pralamba stole the gopa's clothing, ornaments, and walking stick. Assuming the form of Bhadragopa, Pralamba followed the path that led to Bandiravan and to his death. When Pralamba arrived, the cowherd boys thought that he was Bhadra and eagerly accepted him into their fold. They treated him like a brother and laughed with him as they enjoyed their games. Playing as a gopa, Pralamba constantly kept an eye on Krishna and Balaram, waiting for an opportune moment when the two heroes might display some signs of weakness or inattention. As he watched, Pralamba could discern that Krishna's unlimited power made him invincible. He decided at the next available opportunity he would kidnap Balaram instead. But Pralamba had not escaped Krishna's vigilant, all-knowing eye. To trap the demon in the pit of his own evil deeds, Krishna greeted him affectionately. "Oh, Bhadra, you're late. You missed the fun." "Never mind," continued the Lord, eager to deceive the demon. "Today you will be my sidekick and Sridham will be on the side of Balaram, who is the perfect sparring partner for you." To get the boy's attention, Krishna called out, "Ho, ho, brothers, stop your dancing. We're going to play a new game." "Which game are we going to play?" the boys asked as they gathered around. Krishna replied, "We'll divide into two groups to play Harina. Balaram will head up his group and Bhadra will lead mine. Whoever loses will have to carry the winner to the starting point on his back." The two groups paired off. Keeping their feet together, they raced to the finish line by hopping like deer, Harina. The winners and losers declared victory or defeat with cries of, "I won," or "He lost." Sri Krishna defeated Sridham, which meant that Sridham would have to carry his dear friend. Pralamba would have to carry Balaram, just as the other losing boys had to carry their triumphant opponents. Lining up the trunk of the Bandirika in a joyful mood, the losers began to carry their adversaries, running to the finish line and then back to the tree, all the while calling out, "Jai!" But Pralamba did not turn around at the finish line. He just kept running faster and faster. Balaram, unsure where this gopa was going, exhibited tremendous weight to slow down his eager carrier. Unable to tolerate Balaram's great mass, the demon reverted to his original hideous form. Together the two resembled the moon riding upon a bank of billowing black clouds, both flying off to Mathura. The demon's body was expansive. His blazing eyes, copper-colored hair, and long fangs were so fearsome that even Balaram felt some apprehension being lifted into the sky by this horrid-looking creature. Earlier, the ecstasy of Lord Balaram's absorption in play had covered his omniscience. He had neither recognized the demon, nor did he know how to react now that he was seeing Pralamba's true form. Baladev gazed at his brother for guidance. Krishna, with the movement of his brow, revived Balaram's godly powers. His glance seemed to say, "Why are you acting like a human now?" Thus reminded of his transcendental identity, Lord Balaram hastily invoked his unlimited strength and struck the demon on the head with his fist, just as lightning strikes a mountain. That one blow had all the force of the universe behind it, so it was not incredible that Pralambasura's head cracked open. The demon at once lost his life and his body fell to the earth, bleeding profusely. As the demigod showered flowers, the soul of Pralamba, previously the Gandhava saint Vijay, went to Vaikuntha Loka. Balaram, eager to escape the ghastly scene, ran to embrace his brother, Krishna. The cowherd boys surrounded Balaram to congratulate him. Celestial voices glorified the Lord's display of incomparable strength and bestowed upon him the name Baladev, God of power. The cowherd boys embraced Balaram with so much love, it was as if he had just come back from the dead. They praised him, offered him profuse blessings, and repeatedly said, "Well done, friend, well done." Because the area around Balaram's body was covered with blood, the cowherd boys left it in disgust and returned to the trunk of Bandirika, whose branches straddled both the Yamuna. Lord Balaram is the origin of Mahavishnu. He is therefore known as the reservoir of all living entities. Pralambasura was the personification of Buddhism, known as Mayavad. Pralamba's attempt to steal Balaram represents the Mayavad philosopher's efforts to disprove the personal identity of the Supreme Brahman, Krishna, and the eternality of Krishna, of pure devotion to him. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that just as Pralamba disguised himself to enter amongst the cowherd boys, Mayavadi philosophy sometimes enters the Vaishnav community in the guise of service to Krishna. Hearing about Pralambasura's death at the hands of Balaram will infuse us with the spiritual strength to identify and root out Mayavadi ideology when it infiltrates our ranks under false pretense. Hare Krishna. okay, so I think time is up. I do have a lot more, but I apologize for reading so much, but I'm honestly not capable of speaking off the top of my head about Lord Balaram. So I had no alternative, but I hope there was something there for you to relish and something that you can meditate on during the day. If there's any other comments or questions? Yeah, it's coming. No? Yeah, I have a few things on that. Yes, Tarun is saying, for those online, that Balaram has this pastime of intoxication, so it may be misunderstood. Actually, I do have some references also from Navavraja Mahima, where he says even though he's intoxicated, he has his full faculties. He's not like intoxicated like a conditioned soul who becomes completely stupid and, you know, can't control himself.
I think there's a description when describing Ananta Shesha. He said his eyes is rolling and he's kind of seems to me like.
It's in bliss. Yeah, it's in bliss. It's in spiritual bliss, transcendental bliss. I mean, it's not only Varuni. There's a whole, quite a long episode about Varuni. But it's also, actually, there's a liquor made of Kodamba flowers, which he also gets intoxicated with. But he does say there that actually he's... He always retains his full capacity. He's not incapacitated like we are if we get intoxicated. So, anyway, it's one of Balaram's inconceivable pastimes. A good rumor had some.
Thank you very much for the nice class. I just remembered. Some story about Lord Balaram. Mm-hmm. So this is from our, like, we had a Sankirtan house in Yorkshire with the Scottish Yatra devotees. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of mostly just going out on Sankirtan every day, even if it was a festival day or whatever it was, you know. So we just say to all the boys, okay, well, say if it's Radhashtami or something, we say, oh, get everyone to say Jai Radhe, you know, that we meet on book distribution. Mm-hmm. Of course, we used to get everyone to say Gauranga anyway. But so it was Lord Balaram's appearance there, so we'd say, okay, today, everyone you meet on the street, get them to say Jai Balaram, you know. And that way, at least we remember that personality, you know. And they get mercy, whether they know it or not, you know. So then, one time I was doing some books, and I said, I've got this guy, and I think it was Wakefield, and I said to him, can you say, can you say Gauranga? He said, what does that mean? I said, it means be happy, you know. I said, all right, Gauranga. He said, oh, today's a special day. Can you say another magic word? Can you say Jai Balaram? So he says, Jai Balaram. He said, what does that mean? I said, it means happy birthday to God's big brother. So he said, oh, I said, God's got a big brother. So I said, well, me and you could have a big brother, so why not God, you know? But then something really funny happened. It's like about 6 months later, we were in Barnsley doing Sankirtan in another place. So I just went up to see another devotee, how he's getting on. And then this English guy, he was just walking by, and he saw us, and he came over to us, and he said, don't tell me. He said, I know, Jai Balaram. So he remembered that. You know?
Yeah.
So Lord Balaram's mercy was going around, you know.
Great.
To people, even unsuspecting people.
You have an unlimited supply of these funny stories.
Well,
that's very nice.
Lord Balaram is Lord Nityananda, you see. So Lord Nityananda is very merciful. You know, he wants to save the Jagai and Madais, you know, even in Yorkshire. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, Lord Balaram, he doesn't tolerate nonsense at all, does he? I mean, like Romahashan Sutta, he didn't last very long when he didn't show him respect. But Nityananda, yeah, he got hit on the head by Madai, I think, wasn't it? But he tolerated it. It doesn't really hurt. That's the difference between the two, Balaram and Nityananda. Yeah. Okay, anything else? Anybody would like to... No? Any other comments or questions? Denikasura actually was the first demon. The reason why Lord Balaram killed him was because he was originally in the family of Prahlad Maharaj, and he promised that he would never kill any of his family members. I think he was a son or grandson of Bali Maharaj, called Sahasika, from memory. So Krishna wouldn't kill him for that reason. And actual fact, the cowherd boys, they challenged Balaram. He says, look, Krishna, your younger brother, he's always killing all these demons, but you never do. So... you know, they taunted him a bit. So Lord Balaram, okay, no problem, I can do it. So he decided that he would actually go, and he tightened his belt, went into the Talavan forest, and he started shaking all the trees. I think he even pulled out a tree and then threw it, and loads of trees fell down, and then Denikasura became very angry and charged at him. And he was laughing so much, Balaram, that when Denikasura came and he kicked him with his hind legs with full force, but Balaram didn't even feel it hardly. But then he came at him again, and he just picked him up and twirled him around, and he died from dizziness, probably just just whirling him around like that, and then threw him into the And actually, all the cowherd boys, some of very small cowherd boys were present at that point. And they also started attacking the donkeys. And it's named here, I can't remember all the names, but one little boy tried to strangle one of the donkeys. Another one just punched him in the face. Another one hit him with a stick, like that, you know. They were just little boys, you know, but... anyway, they all enjoyed the killing of Denikasura. Okay, I think we should finish here. But we can meditate on Lord Balaram during the day. If you want, you can memorize this verse and all these different characteristics of Lord Balaram. And in that way, glorify him and become purified and be able to engage in Krishna service, get the determination and strength to overcome those enemies which are listed in the seventh canto by Narad Muni, be able to follow Krishna's instructions. And of course, Lord Balaram, one thing I neglected to mention was that Lord Balaram came after the, what are they called, the Sadgarbhas. They were all, you know, like Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya, the unwanted things who were born to Devaki and were killed by Kamsa. And then Balaram appeared to prepare the way, to prepare the womb of Devaki ready for. So that's his service attitude for you, to prepare the womb of Devaki for Krishna to come. Like that. So we hopefully today we're preparing the way for Krishna to appear in a few days, well, 10 or 12 days' time, something like that. Shri Balaram ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.